It is good to see you all here this morning, and we are very thankful to God for allowing us to come together to study His Word, to encourage one another through the fellowship that we are having this morning, and through the message of the songs, and also from the lessons that we're going to hear from God's Word. We are so grateful and thankful for giving us the opportunity to be a part of this year's lectureship, and may God continue to bless the work of the church in this area for the propagation of the Lord's Word, and also for the conversion of the souls in this community. If I wanted to get some information about you, I would do it in a secret way, what I would do is that I'm going to approach the closest person in your life, the person that knows you well. And probably it could be your father, your mother, your spouse, or your son, or your daughter. And I'm going to ask him or her everything that he knows or she knows about you. And then after gathering those information, I would let you know about it. I would like you to see it, if those information are all true or not. Probably, if you're going to read those information, you might not completely agree with all those information that I have gathered about you. Even though I got those information from the closest person in your life, why is it? What does that mean? It just simply means that even though you have the closest person in your life, still, there is no other person that knows you well better, or that knows you better than yourself. There's no other person that knows you better than yourself. In fact, that is exactly what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, and he says, "For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirits of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." Brethren, we need to keep in mind that people around us have different ideas, have different views, have different opinions, have different judgments about us. Some of them would say positive things about us. Some of them would say negative things about us. But what really matters the most is that we know ourselves. We know what is in our hearts. We know our intentions. And God knows that too. So we should not be so much concerned. We should not be so much affected by what others would say about us. The important thing is that we know what we are doing. We are doing it for God's glory. We are doing it because God commanded us to do it, no matter what people would say about us. I would like to invite everybody to please turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. And this text would be our text for the Lord's lesson, Lord's message in this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. And I would like us to note the following about Paul. First, that Paul knows who he was and what he must be. Second, Paul knows what really matters to him. And third, Paul knows how the Lord would bring his judgments. In verse 1 of our text, it says, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." The NLT translation, the New Living Translation, has put this verse in this way: "So look at Apollos and me as mere servants of Christ who have been put in charge of explaining God's mysteries." Paul, in this verse, describes himself in two terms. First, he says that he was a servant. And then after saying that, he says that he was also a steward. Now, what are the significance of these terms that he described about himself? What are these terms mean to the Apostle Paul? During this time, when the 1 Corinthians was written, the brethren in that area, the brethren at Corinth, were facing many problems. And one of the problems that they faced was faction or division. And so, what is the significance of these two words? The word servant is referring to an under rower. It refers to an under rower, and the under rower is a slave who was seated under the deck of a ship by whom the ship was propelled. And then steward is the manager of the household affairs. He is the one who was given the opportunity to manage the affairs of the household. He is the one who looks after the possessions of another person. Now, what do these terms mean in relation to the Apostle Paul? Since the Corinthian brethren were having a division, factions, and they are attaching themselves to the different names, to the different parties, Paul, in using these terms, wanted them that they should not do that, because they, as leaders, he as a leader, is expressing himself in humility. He said that he was an under ruler. He says that he was a servant. He says that he was a slave. So Paul was a slave to Christ, who was given the authority to act in behalf of his Lord. Paul was saying that he was not the Lord. He was not the master. He was saying that he does not own the church. he does not own the gospel that he is preaching. And so they do not need to exalt him. They do not need to see him as one who is mighty, because he was just a servant, and as a servant, he was just receiving commandments from the Lord. And as stewards, same principle, he was also receiving commands from the Lord. And so, he wanted them to stop the division that was going on among them. During the time that slave trade was still practiced in some parts of the South, a handsome young man was up for sale. The bids kept rising. Finally, an Englishman gained the position. And so the young slave began to chide him, saying, "Aha! You buy a slave when slavery has already been abolished in England." But you know what the purchaser, the Englishman, said to him? He looked at him and said to him, I have bought you to set you free." The young slave man was pricked in his heart. He was overcome with emotion and replied to the purchaser, "I will be your willing servant forever." In essence, that is the exact feeling that Paul was conveying before the Lord in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, when he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, yet and it is no longer I who lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." As a slave, as a servant, Paul knows that he should be faithful to his master. As a steward also, he knows that he should be faithful to his master. He knew that one day he would be required of giving account of the things he was entrusted. And so, what he must do? He should always remain faithful. Faithful as a steward, faithful as a servant of Christ. So, what factors should he be faithful? He was entrusted the Word of God. He was an apostle, and so he should be faithful for being an apostle. He should be faithful in proclaiming the word. He should be faithful in defending the truth. He should be faithful in building up the church, in feeding and in protecting the church. Now we, as members of the church, Christ owns us when he says, "I will build my church." He says, "my church." So, he owns us. We know that the Lord bought the church with his own blood, and the church is us. And so, we are servants of Christ. What happened? If you are going to buy something, that thing would be your possession now. It would be your own. And so when Christ bought us with his own blood, we became his own. We became his servants. As our Master, Christ commanded us to preach the gospel, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 16. As stewards, Christ entrusted us with spiritual and physical things. Now the question is, are we using these spiritual and physical things that God entrusted us for His glory and for the salvation of the soul? As the purpose of the Bible is. Yes, the Lord is coming again, and that is the overall theme of the Bible. He will surely come again. And on that day, we will all give account to our Master. We will surely face Him and give account of the things that He entrusted to us. So like Paul, we should be faithful in everything that God has entrusted to us. Now Paul, as he describes himself as a servant and as a steward of Christ, he knows what really matters to him. If we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, we know that there are divisions happening in the church at Corinth. Some of the brethren are saying, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Now, basically, those that are saying that they belong to Paul would say good things about himself. And those that are against him would say negative things about the Apostle Paul. But what did the Apostle Paul say in our text, in verse 3? What did he say in this verse? He says, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. Brethren that claim to be belonging to him were saying many good things about him. And those that are against him were also saying many bad things, negative things about him. But he was not so concerned about what they were thinking about him. He was not so much disturbed or concerned about what their opinions, what their judgments about him, because he really know what really matters to him. Paul, as a steward, was not answerable to men, but only to his Master. He was working not to gain praises of men. He was working not to please men. He was working because he wanted to please the one that put him or appointed him into the work, and that is God. Those that were saying bad things about him, he could justify himself if he would be given the chance to answer what they are saying to him. But even Paul, he did not say about himself. He did not justify himself. He did not brag of his accomplishments. He did not boast of the things that he had done for the church at Corinth and for the glory of God, because he maintains to be humble in the sight of God and in the sight of the Corinthian church. He knows that men's judgment and his judgment of himself were not final. It is not complete. it is not just, but the Lord's judgment. He considers it to be the final, the complete, and the just one. So he was not so worried about the thoughts, the opinions, the judgments of the brethren about him, because he was thinking about the Lord's judgment of him. Because he knew that the Lord's judgment would bring, or the Lord's judgment would give him the final sentence. He knew that the Lord's judgment was infallible in comparison with his personal evaluation of himself in performing his duty. And so, since he knew that men's judgment and self-judgment are not the final judgment, he advised and he exhorted the Corinthian brethren. In verse 5, he says, "Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God." Paul knew that man will always be short of the facts when he's going to execute his judgment upon others. Only the Lord could give the perfect judgment, because the Lord can read the minds of each one of us, because the Lord can see what is in the heart of every person. And so he advised and he exhorted them to hold on the judgment and wait for the Lord for his final judgment upon each one of them. When the Lord will come, all the purposes, all the intentions and plans of man which are in his heart, whether good or whether bad, whether good or bad, those will be revealed in the sight of the Lord. God's judgment is always right and fair. It is always true and righteous. It is without partiality. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. And so as a righteous judge, he will not judge on the basis of one's wealth, on the basis of one's education, on the basis of one's social background or social position. But God will judge each one of us according to what we have done in this body, whether that is good or that is bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, that is what Paul says to the Corinthians. Let us read that verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." So in this lesson, brethren, we need that to keep in mind who we are and what we must be. Like Paul, he knows who he was and what he must be. Like Paul, we need to know what really matters to us. And we need to know how the Lord would bring or execute his judgment upon us. Let us not be affected by what others would say to us. Just keep on going. Just keep on serving the Lord with the best that we can. Because if we are going to do that, the promise of the Lord, the crown of life, will be given to us. How happy will it be on the day of judgment when Christ would say, faithful servants. Well done. Come into my everlasting rest. How happy will that be if that is what we're going to hear from our Lord, from our Master, from the one whom we are serving in this life. I hope that this lesson would help us to keep on serving the Lord, would help us to become more stronger, or to become stronger Christians. We are facing so many different problems and issues when it comes to the Lord's work, but as long as we are doing what we can do for the Lord's glory, God would always be pleased for us. So thank you, and may the Lord bless each one of us. May the Lord continue to guide us in everything that we do.